Hi, this is Bill Teeple, Alan Cobb, and Donna Colby, and this is Icon Art Radio. Our guest today is Danielle Scheer, whose work is on view, well, has been on view at the Teeple Hansen Gallery upstairs at 108 West Broadway here in Fairfield. And the show has been quite a popular success. She's one of the most popular artists in Fairfield. Everyone loves her and her work. And we are extending this show by popular demand through the next Art Walk, which will be the 2nd of May. And it will close on the 19th of May. So it's wonderful to have you with us.
Thank you, Phil.
Say a little bit about the work in the show. Just start wherever you go with
well,
it.
Well, there's most of the pieces are of Iowa. Some of the pieces are of Jim Rubis's land. He has 250 acres of a farm with 250 acres, and I've taken a lot of pictures on that land, and also, I have some pictures, paintings of Colorado, Rocky Mountain National Park, from a trip from a couple of years ago, and just other scenes of Iowa, mainly.
Jim Rubis apparently was up there.
Yes, he was
the
there.
Art Walk.
And, yes, and he loved
he
it.
He said something like, "Is that my land?" Which brings up something about your work. I've seen she takes her own photos. It's not that she's copying photos, but she uses photos as a source material, which is
That's very common
in the art world. So she works off her own photos. So she visualizes the thing, looking at it. Then she takes photos for information. And then, but I've seen the photos, and then I've seen the pieces that come from the photos. And it's like a transformation from the mundane to the magic. It's just this skill she has, and it's just really cool.
Yeah. I try to bring out the feeling that I have when I'm there, you know, because I just love being out there, especially Jim Rubis's land. It's just beautiful over there. And I'll go out in the morning, early morning, and when there's no one around, and it's to get that light, the morning light, and late afternoon, same thing. So I try to get the feeling that I remember, which is never what the photograph looks like. You know, that's just a reference for the details, and the general look.
One of the works in the show stood out for me, and it was one of the Jim Rubis's land ones where there was a stream. Mm-hmm. It was, I think he maybe had two of the stream. It was like, one. It was like Jim Rubis, Rubis stream one or something like that.
Right.
And you really brought, that was to me a very timeless and impossible to place in a certain geography kind of picture. You know,
right.
It was, you had the water and you had the shadows and the light and the trees and kind of this refuge feeling that it totally made me want to walk in there and spend a lot of time inside that picture.
Yeah, well, that's how I feel when I'm there.
But I also think that you're touching into a universal feeling that we all have who live in this part of the country.
Right.
That it's so kind of taken for granted, like the Iowa landscape, that we often don't remark on it, like we remark on Rocky Mountain National Park as being, oh, the grandeur.
Right.
We sort of take it for granted, but we all have a sort of intimate love for the Midwest landscape. Mm-hmm. And I've been here long enough now that it feels kind of like home in a way to me. And you stir those feelings in people. You kind of capture the essence of the different things, the meadows or the stream and the woodlands and the light peeking through the trees and all this. You just capture the poetic essence of that particular feeling of the landscape.
Yeah, and I feel very lucky that I have this as a profession, so to speak, because I get to go out there, you know, and spend a lot of time in the woods and people's land. when they let me. And it's really nice.
Well, the way it's kind of like a hunting, you know, you're a hunter.
Yeah.
Hunting for
yeah,
capture
that's
that,
true.
That particular experience.
Yeah.
Of course, that's what art, we
is
talked about.
About
this.
Yeah.
The art, you capture this experience in consciousness and you put it into material form.
Right.
I think it's particularly interesting to because we're planning some shows on photography mm-hmm. in the upcoming weeks. And I was just thinking about the difference between taking a picture out of a magazine and learning to reproduce it, and using a picture to remind you of a place that you actually know, because then what you're painting is what you know.
Exactly.
And that's got nothing to do with the photograph, really.
Right.
And that's one of the things that in photography you have to contend with, because you can get a stunning photograph that doesn't actually communicate what you know about the thing being photographed.
Right.
But it's still maybe a very beautiful image.
Right.
And it's the thing that a concert pianist brings to the music. The notes are the same notes that any concert pianist
That's
is
true.
Dealing with. And you're looking at the same trees that someone else might have taken a picture of or made a painting of. But they're your trees after you have, you know, painted them or drawn them.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where the artist enters into the work, which is part of the magic that
right.
Bill is always talking about.
But that's the other cool thing, is that you cannot divorce yourself
yeah.
from your work.
Yeah.
So we're also we're always, when we look at someone's work, seeing a portrait of the artist.
Yeah.
And that's very cool.
Now, in this show, the scale, I thought, was very, the tiny size of
right.
these works gave it, to me, a little bit more magic, you know, like really very intimate. You had to go very close to them to kind of look into these landscapes. Was that a conscious choice to do these tiny? What was your purpose in making them all so small?
I just like making them small. Mm. I can get in a lot more detail, and also the pastel dust, you know, there's, if you're doing a big piece, you generate a lot of dust, mm. which is really messy. It's not good for you to breathe in. Mm. So there's something about doing a small ones too that I can really capture that feeling. I don't know why.
Yeah, you definitely
maybe
did.
Because I can get in more detail and sort of experiment with color, which I wouldn't do so much on a large piece
mm-hmm.
because I spend so much time that I don't want to wreck it. I'm not going to experiment, you know. So I love doing small pieces.
Mm. There's also something about the way the scale forces the medium itself to contribute more to the image.
Right.
Because when you're up close, you're looking at the pastel texture and the tooth of the paper and
right.
things mm-hmm. like that all become part of the image. And when it's bigger, you can't see that level
right.
of detail. You don't see the individual particles of pastel.
Yeah, that's true.
Well, I think it's almost two different medium.
Yeah.
The small and the large. To me, it's so different. It's
yeah.
the same little. It's the same stick mm-hmm. of pastel, but if it's on a 3-foot thing, mm-hmm. then you've got all these little all these lines to
right.
you have to build it up and build it up and build it up, and what you just said, and there you don't have that intimacy with the slash of the
yeah.
of the pigment, and in the little one, that big stick. It's a big stick then in a little picture, and it has more of a gooey, pasty quality about it, and that it just gives it a different look and different effect. And
yeah.
I find that in her work, this scale, it seems very appropriate. She could go a little bit bigger, but when you go into the 2-foot size piece, it's another thing. And she does very well with that, but somehow it doesn't feel like the perfect scale. These are perfect scale myself.
Well, the content has so much intimacy in it that the scale suits the intimacy. It forces you into an intimate relationship with the image.
True.
So you're you know, you get sucked into it, and then you kind of rub your nose against it.
The glass.
And it is like a little glimpse into a magic, yeah, of storybook realm.
Yeah.
That is not, that's the fun thing about her work, is it's not storybook. It's actually more of the realness that you get off of the land and off of your feelings about existing in nature comes through. Mm-hmm. But of course, that is the storybook stuff. Mm-hmm. That's why that's what we respond to in storybooks.
Yeah.
Do you find that you go back and back to the same place?
Oh yeah.
Revisiting, yes, before you actually feel ready to.
Oh, you mean I thought you meant when I'm painting. It's like going back to the same place.
Oh, when you,
that's,
yeah,
what I,
yeah,
was thinking.
That's good, right.
In fact, I'm doing a commission right now, and I'm doing this the same scene for a second time, mm-hmm, and it is like going back to that same place. Mm-hmm. And I get to almost touch every place, yeah, you know, that I was. It's, for me, it's very fulfilling.
That's really great. And then after you've done a work like that, and mm-hmm, you actually physically go back to that, mm-hmm, spot, has your relationship,
yes,
changed?
Yes, absolutely.
After doing the work?
Yeah. Absolutely. Because, yeah, it has. There are a lot of places that might look like that, mm-hmm, along the creek, but I'll recognize a specific spot, you know, because you really get to know it when you paint every, yeah, detail.
It's like seeing a relative again.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
You know, that's great.
And you've always worked from photographs. You've never sat out in nature.
No, I have sat out in nature.
How does that come out?
Well, no, the pieces are all right. It's just that I can't spend the time. Mm-hmm. Because I can only, you know, I'm only there for a couple of hours and it's too hot or the light's changed. I have to go and eat.
But I find that painting directly in nature, in plain air, mm-hmm, whatever they say, is an experience.
Yes, it is.
That it's, you know, with a photo, you're coming up with the perfect image, and mm-hmm, it's more controlled.
Right.
You know, you've got it's standing still. You just put some magic into that image. Mm-hmm. But in nature, you know, the clouds are changing, the water's, mm-hmm, changing, the sunlight is out, and then the sunlight is in. But there's also this back and forth with the direct place. Mm. It becomes very intimate when you're forced to look that intimately at it and respond to, mm-hmm, it. And I find that extremely wonderful, that experience. Like communing with nature.
Yeah. Sometimes I have that experience, other times I don't. Mm-hmm. It just depends. For practical reasons, you know, I can't sort of set up on the side of the road and do a painting of when there's cars going by and, mm-hmm, people honking and, you know, somebody coming by and saying, "What are you doing on my piece of land?" And, mm-hmm, and also, even if I'm in the park, people come by, and that's why I don't like it as much.
No, these are the dynamics of outdoor painting. There's pluses and minuses.
Right.
To it.
I like
some people love it, the dynamics of it,
right,
and the challenge of it.
Right.
Other people hate it.
Well, I have.
I learned early on at like 15 years old. I was out painting like in my neighborhood.
And, yeah.
And I got used to the whole thing, but it is a bit challenging.
Yeah, it is. And it, I'm not set up for that either. When I go out, I just have a little pad with paper that isn't, mm-hmm, such good paper for pastel, and I have a few pencils and that's it, pastel pencils.
So tell us a little bit about the technique.
I paint on sanded paper.
And why do you do that?
Because that paper takes I can do a layer, one layer over another.
And sanded paper is like sandpaper. Seriously,
it is like
it's
sandpaper.
Almost like sandpaper.
Yeah. You can do, if you use paper that isn't sanded, you have to spray between layers. So with sanded paper, you can just put one layer over another, and it holds the pastel better. So I start by drawing sort of a sketch, and then I fill it in as much as I can, you know, block in. And with pastels, you're like you said, you're putting one layer over another to get the color and the richness and the depth. And I'm not sure if I work from... I usually start with medium tones and then work, put in the dark tones and the light tones at the, near the end. And
so the paper will have a color, right, to it?
Right. Yes, I use colored paper because then you don't have as much to fill in.
Then you
in.
Pull your lights and darks and your
right.
colors out of that
right.
middle tone.
Exactly. Exactly. It's hard for me to describe what I do.
No, you're doing it's great. I think that the audience is getting some idea. They all they have to do, but they could come and take art lessons from me and I'll teach them more.
Well, definitely come and see the show. Just to remind our listening audience, we're talking with Danielle Scheer, who has a beautiful show of her landscape, beautiful small pastel landscapes at the Teeple Hansen Gallery up until the 19th of May.
Right.
So stop by.
And there'll be a few new ones at the beginning of May.
Oh, good. Yeah, that'll be great.
Yeah.
And this is KRUULP 100.1 FM, Fairfield.
The voice of Fairfield.
So where have you, what other places have you done pastels of besides the Iowa region and Rocky Mountain National Park? Is it all Iowa otherwise, all local?
Montreal and Quebec. I've done some of Montreal and Quebec. Let me think. A few of Florida when I visited my mother-in-law there a few years ago. And I think that's about it.
And you feel pretty connected to landscape as your
yes,
the object
I
of
do.
Your affection?
Yes.
I have not seen you be drawn to do portraits.
I used to do portraits and figures.
Ah.
And I started doing landscapes so that I would have nice backgrounds for my figures. But then I completely lost interest in figures. And now I'm, you know, my brother-in-law asked me to do a portrait of my husband. And I said, sure. And thought, that'll take a year. Just because I really love landscape. Painting.
Well, I think you have to follow this devotion. It's like a muse, and you
yes.
have to follow it.
Yeah.
And we don't have a lot of control over it. We might think we want to do this or that, but there's this thing that seems to drive us. That's why I was interested in
how. Right.
And I would imagine that there's kind of a growth that you experience in your relationship with nature, like over
yes.
the years that you've been doing landscape painting.
Absolutely.
Is there anything more you could say about that?
Probably not. nature is very calming for me, and there is an intimate relationship there, which just can't put into words. I have to do a visual portrait of what that is, you know, visual image. That's what I try to portray in my work.
And that's what you do. That's
yeah.
what
exactly.
we appreciate.
Exactly.
And there's a communication then that takes place between the audience and myself and mm-hmm. you, because I'm saying yes, yes. That's I'm getting how you feel.
And it is a purely, I mean, that's why you chose to be a visual artist instead of a poet or
right.
nature writer or something, because the way you can express how you feel about nature best mm-hmm. is through these
through the visual
images. And walking through your show and kind of tuning in to each work one after another, I think most people, I certainly don't feel like talking about it while I'm looking at the... I don't like to go to art walks with a friend, for mm-hmm. example. I like to go by myself so that I can engage with each painting without having to comment to, oh, that's nice, or something
yeah,
like that.
Yeah.
Because it is that visual language that speaks to you directly and somehow touches something inside of you, and some more than others, and you don't know why. you go by. I went, circled your show twice and always stopped the longest at the same one, mm-hmm. that immediately would spark me for
Which
some
one was
reason.
That?
Well, that one that I mentioned before about the stream.
Oh, right.
And that was the main one. And there was another one in the second room that may have also been on Rubus's land. They were the woodsy ones, the ones that mm-hmm. that sparked me the most, rather than the mountains and And also, there was one of rocks and water.
Mm-hmm. In the oh, is that the long one?
Just by well, you
the,
when you won't
the
go in the door
as
to
you
the
walk in, and it's the water tumbling down the rocks.
Oh, that stream. One, yes, yeah. That was the Rocky Mountain.
And that one also,
Rocky Mountain,
because I have this great love of the combination of rocks and water.
Right, so, right.
I mean, if, the minute I walked into the door.
That's
that
one
just like, oh, rocks and water. And that was pretty, to me, that is a very difficult thing to convey, mm-hmm. you know,
That is very difficult. And I might add that this what we're talking about here is not easy. That lots of people have a dear feeling or a great experience in nature, but then they try to, you know, learn how to talk about that visually. Mm-hmm. And mostly it's frustrating that you're able to do this magic mm-hmm. is really quite wonderful and you should be lauded for it because you really pinpoint you nail it and it's way beyond whether the everything is depicted exactly realistically or not. That's not what it's about. It's about conveying this feeling.
Mm-hmm, exactly.
And that's what you're really good at.
Good.
Well, and taking people back to places that may not have been that place, but that made them have the same kind of magical feeling that you probably had when you were relating to that place.
Right.
And I think that's kind of what I felt when I was drawn to certain ones. It was just like there was something archetypal about that scene.
Right.
And maybe I kind of went back to how I felt in a spot like that with a stream and a forest mm-hmm. in Minnesota or Maine or something
right.
that may not have even had that same kind of trees, but somehow there was the feeling mm-hmm. was the same. And your work was a catalyst for that.
Yeah, that piece, that was the first time I did Running Water, actually. It was a challenge, you know, for me mm-hmm. to do that piece. And when I took that photograph, there were a bunch of artists right at the bottom of the stream painting it. Mm-hmm. So it was fun.
I know you've sold quite a few of the paintings of the Thiebaud Hansen mm-hmm. Gallery right now. And I'm just curious, to what extent do you find yourself influenced or guided by the response of the audience?
I go more by inspiration. Mm-hmm. If people are drawn more towards a certain type of thing, I might try mm-hmm. to go in that direction, but it doesn't always work.
Yeah.
Because it has to come from within.
Right.
If my heart isn't in it, it's going to show.
Yeah.
Basically.
Yeah. Well, we often find ourselves talking about this subject
right.
because you know the classic situation of the painter whose works are suddenly starting to sell in a gallery,
right.
and the gallery owner says, "Do more of the blue ones."
Right.
People really.
But
like
I hate
those.
Blue.
And then it's a question of paying the rent by doing more
right.
blue ones
right.
or continuing to be more, I guess, more of a pure artist.
Right.
But,
well, luckily I don't rely on the income.
Yeah.
So I can do what moves yeah. me, you yeah. know.
Or the glory. We love those blue ones.
So do you ever feel sad parting with a work that somebody buys?
No.
No?
Because it makes room for more.
Mm.
And sometimes I have so many, I feel like... Well, what happens is my drawers will be full, mm. and I'll look at them often, you know? And then a whole bunch of them will go away to a gallery and my drawer is empty. And then I feel it. So I just fill it up again.
Oh, that's great. That's a very healthy way to look. I had three pieces in the small work show, and I would have liked selling them, mm-hmm. but none of them sold. And when they came back home to me, it was almost like,
welcome.
I was so happy that nobody bought them, because yeah. they were faces, you know, and yeah. I loved them, and I had yeah. loved them when I, and I don't know how I would have felt if somebody had bought them and they had just like gone off. It would have almost felt like some stranger had adopted my child.
Yeah.
Well, Danielle's been doing this for some time now. We've made a lot of works of art.
Oh,
and
yeah,
they
yeah.
all, what you can rely on your consistency. And this is not always the case, but she's really quite consistent. I mean, there's always that one in 10 that's a singer, that's mm-hmm. that sings. But you know, the other 9 that she would make out of that 10 would all be really high quality pieces, quite consistent. And so you probably kind of got used. You sort of have some faith in yourself, I would imagine. And why did I start this? Where did this all come from?
Parting with work.
Yeah. Well, I think also, I mean, I love what you just said about the drawer and everything. Yeah. And that's, I just probably haven't done the volume of work that you've done, so I don't have that feeling. But I really like that concept. I mean, I'm going to take that home with me and live with that, mm-hmm. and creating the vacuum and to bring new inspirations. Right. I think that's really a good thing.
There are the odd pieces that I won't show. You know, there's one, mm-hmm. and there is one piece, the one of Montreal, that's in the show, which I won't mind if it doesn't sell, because I don't have a lot of pieces of Montreal. That's where I grew up, you know.
Oh,
so.
Yeah, yeah.
But I don't go back there very often, and when I do, I don't get much chance to take photographs. So
we've been talking with Danielle Scheer today, and it's the end of our show, but I just want to remind everybody to go to Tipa Hansen Gallery and see her wonderful show through May 19th.
And it's open for the art walk, and it's open on Saturdays, 1 to 4, and by appointment. And when we say by appointment, we really mean it.
You've been listening to Icon Art Radio, a production of Iowa Contemporary Art, Fairfield.